Jim McGuinness wrote in his book about, and I don't know whether he's changed on this, but as Colin McFadden reached to punch that ball to the back of the net, he didn't want it to happen because they hadn't played to their principles.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
So the British and Irish Lions will look to seal a series win against Australia on Saturday morning in Melbourne with a record 9 Irish players in Andy Farrell's starting 15 that was announced earlier today, and 2 more among the replacements. And it would have been one more than that, only for Gary Ringrose to pull out of the team as he's still dealing with the effects of concussion. So Hugh Jones keeps his place, where he'll play alongside Bundee Aki, who replaces Sione Tuipulotu. There's an all-Leinster front row now, with Andrew Porter starting ahead of Ellis Genge, and with Joe McCarthy out, Ollie Chessum partners Mauro Itoje in the second row. James Ryan, Owen Farrell, and a lone Welshman, Jack Morgan, all come into the replacements bench. Former Welsh international and 2-time Lions tourist in 2013 and 2017, Jonathan Davies is with us. Good to talk to you, Jonathan.
How are you doing? All right?
Very well, very well. I should start out by mentioning Brian O'Driscoll is a colleague of ours, but after 12 years, we said there's probably a statute of limitations and it's fine to have the chat now.
Okay, it's taken 12 years, so that's fair.
One Welsh player, which is one more than last week in the 23. It's a far cry from 2013 and the last trip to Australia.
Yeah, the pressure of a nation got to Andy Farrell, so he picked Jack Morgan. I think I'm delighted for Jack. He's played exceptional rugby on this tour, and hopefully he gets a good crack at showing what he can do at that level, So it's, I'm sure the travelling Welsh fans would be happy to see a Welshman in the 23.
I assume the lack of Welsh involvement is having a significant impact on interest levels in this Lions tour across Wales.
You'd say that, but there isn't much happening at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning here in Wales. So I'm sure there's always an interest in the Lions. But as years gone by, the last few tours we've had a strong contingent, and this one is tough to see. Definitely, I'm sure the Welsh people are enjoying Australia as well, and getting behind the boys when they're out there.
It feels like there's been a lot of soul searching in Welsh rugby in recent years, on the pitch and then off the pitch. There's been performance reviews and financial reviews, and every aspect of the game has been looked into. This just feels like another stark reminder of where Welsh rugby finds itself right now. Before the squad announcement, could you have made a strong case for many Welsh players? Do you feel there was many guys hard done by?
I think Blair Murray was one. I thought he could be a bit of a bolter, especially originally I thought Mac Hansen wasn't going to be fit to tour, so I thought Blair might have been a great shout to be involved. But Tomos and Jack were our two outstanding performers, and our world-class players at the moment, and devastated for Tomos not to pick up that injury so early on in the tour. But it does show where we've been the last couple of years in our levels of performance. And the Lions tours are picked on merit, and as a nation we haven't probably delivered at that test match level.
How are you finding watching from afar? Because it feels like it's been certainly way more low-key than 2013, and maybe that's the position that Australia find themselves at the moment, 8th in the world. It almost felt like a bit of a foregone conclusion before the tour even started, and certainly for an hour last week it felt that way as well. It's been, which is something you'd never say about a Lions tour, a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, I haven't been involved in the 12 years ago. You feel that buzz really up close and personal, but I'd agree, there hasn't been, because there's this squad that was assembled is such a strong squad, and they were going on tour favorites, and everyone thought 3-0 3-0, and originally they probably didn't get off the start that we'd hoped in performance levels. They were a bit clunky, and people thought probably Australia might be able to cause them some problems. But I think the first test showed the way the Lions were able to win that collision battle, get Gainland, get momentum, and you know the likes of Finn Russell and Gibson Park were able to like pick them off. They had speed of ball, and they looked a different level. They were operating at a different level. So, you know, I do hope the changes Australia have made makes it more competitive, because, you know, as much as I want the Lions to win the series, I'd like them to do it in a third match decider just to get a real buzz about the tour. And, you know, you just want it to get exciting, because, like, you know, I don't know how you felt watching the game last week. At times it just felt automatic. It was like, oh, yeah, they're going to go down and score.
It was quiet.
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it just didn't seem to have the noise levels that you automatically assume with a Lions test. And in terms of what you're seeing from the physicality that Australia are bringing, like, we've had countless former Lions on the show through the years who, when they're talking about their toughest moments, go back to certain moments in Lions tests in New Zealand or in South Africa, where the physicality was just on a level the likes of which they'd never come up against before. It doesn't feel like Australia are capable of bringing that.
Off Saturday's performance, no. But, you know, like I said, like bringing Valentini and Skelton, that gives them a real big physical boost. But it just felt that, you know, the Australian tacklers were falling backwards. There was no one really hitting the Lions players back and winning that collision dominance, even with the carrying, you know, the likes of Itoje, McCarthy, and, you know, Tyburn. They were almost manhandling them at times, and it was great to see. But as from a contest point of view, there almost wasn't a contest at times. And, you know, I thought before the series, the only way Australia had chances of winning this series was how Argentina played, you know, capitalized on the mistakes the Lions made and were extremely clinical. And, you know, thankfully, Lions didn't really give Australia that many opportunities to get ahead and put pressure on the Lions.
When we go back 12 years, the Lions were minutes away from sealing the series in the second test, and Australia strike late to keep it alive. And then there was an interesting week afterwards, it's fair to say. For you, people sort of forget, I think, because your name is obviously the one that comes up that you replaced O'Driscoll, but you had partnered Brian for the first two tests, and it was Jamie Roberts who came in, and then you moved to the 13 jersey. While we have you then, go on, give us your memories of those sort of 24, 48 hours of the personal joy I assume you have at keeping your place, and then your awareness of maybe the fallout in this part of the world.
Well, my awareness was instant, and I honestly didn't think I was going to be playing. Like on the Sunday, I went out and had a ton of beers because I thought, well, I knew Jamie was going to be fit, and I thought there was no way they were going to drop Brian. So I thought my tour was over so I could enjoy myself. So we were in Noosa, had a ton of beers. And then when they named the team, I was called into the office and they told me I was starting. And I just like giggled nervously. And Gats was like, well, why are you laughing? I said, well, I just knew there was just going to be a storm coming when the team was announced. And, you know, when the team was announced, instantly a Facebook page, Justice for Bod, with about a million likes. My brother was one of them. it was pressure. But I think for me personally, I performed best when the most pressure was on me. And you look back at my career and that was probably one of the most pressurized situations. And, you know, the whole experience, the abuse on social media, whatever came about it, it almost made the win even sweeter. But I had to make sure that I played well. And thankfully, the team, we put in a good performance. And, you know, the series was won because I dread to think what it would have been like if we hadn't have won.
Yeah. And it almost feels now we're so accustomed to talking about social media abuse when a team suffers a defeat and the personal nature of it. Going back 12 years, maybe I'm looking back in hindsight rather generously, it didn't feel as though that personalized nature was quite as common. Was it a shock to the system? And did you have any idea of how to deal with it, as to how to ignore it?
I think like me and my brother would just be almost like sending screenshots of certain tweets and almost like making a laugh of it. I remember one was just arrived in Sydney, going to find John Fox Davis and break his legs, justice for Bod, you know, and it was, at the time I was like, bloody hell. But it was people's opinions, and that's what if that's how they felt, then so be it. But like, I guarantee you, behind the, you know, people behind a phone or a keyboard, they're happy to say whatever they want. But these type of people are the ones who would ask you for an autograph or a photo when they met you in face to face. So it was, you know, it didn't really bother me. I took it with a pinch of salt, and yeah, I just looked forward to playing, and was very grateful for the opportunity to play in the decider, because, you know, those are the games you look back on that you wanted to be involved in.
Did Gatland know the storm it was going to cause? I assume he did. And did he do anything to protect you from that? Was he able to do anything to protect you from that?
Well, I don't think there was much protection, because we got to Sydney on the Thursday night, and we were doing media. And normally the sheet goes up in the team room and it's captain and head coach top table. Then three players doing newspapers, three players doing media. So they try and spread it across the team. But then that night, the piece of paper just said top table Jonathan Davis, and I was doing all the media, and I was like, that's a lamb to the slaughter, that is. And you know, I felt, you know, live on Sky Sports, the first question was, you picked ahead of Brian O'Driscoll, does that mean you're a better rugby player than him? And I was like, wow. I just, you know, didn't know what to say, to be honest. And it just made sure that, yeah, it was big news at the time.
Sure was.
Yeah, so I think I just tried to like keep away from the noise, but it was obviously very difficult, because it was people were talking about it all over the shop. But yeah, look, I think it was a great experience to have, because it probably made me appreciate the opportunity that I had to play in that decider.
Yeah. And did yourself and Brian talk much over those sort of 48 hours?
No, to be fair, Brian like left me be. He congratulated me on the selection, and he said, like, anything I need in preparation, you know, just give me a shout. And you know, I really appreciated that. And you know, I was, like you said, we played the first two tests together, and I roomed with him for 2 weeks, and I picked up so much from him, like that, the habits he'd had and his preparation. You know, he was, you know, one of the best rugby players to play the game, and for me to spend that much quality time and just absorb what he did and try and implicate that in my game, I always have fond memories of that period. And you know, it was thankfully we had a series win to enjoy a couple of beers the coming days after the game.
And you're able to go, hey, listen, this isn't my problem. Jamie Roberts is the one who's coming back here. We were getting on just fine, me and you, Brian.
Exactly. And, but to this day, like, Jamie's got away scot-free, and I might even start a campaign now just to highlight who really took the spot.
Yeah, ahead of the third test.
The road to Croke Park has featured big two-pointers, late drama, and a wrong turn, and Enniskillen.
You drove almost a sixth of the way across the country in the wrong direction!
Ahead of Sunday's All-Ireland final clash of Donegal and Kerry, relive the full story of this year's football championship with a new three-part podcast. The Road to Croke Park, the Football Championship. Available for free in your OTB GAA and Football Pod feeds.
Obviously changes in the centre this week. So it was going to be a complete change in the centre, because it looks as though it was going to be Bundy Achie and Gary Ringrose as an all-Irish centre partnership replacing the two Scots. So Ringrose was named in the team when the sheet went up for the players, it seems. He was in that team. And then he went to train, and after training told Andy Farrell he was still feeling the effects of the concussion that he'd suffered in the match against the Brumbies earlier this month. Let's hear from Andy Farrell what he had to say about Gary Ringrose and that decision.
It actually is. I thought exactly the same the minute that he mentioned, because it's tough to do that. It's very easy to keep it to yourself and lie and not be honest and open. It was very big of him and the right thing to do, 100%. For the team as well, not just for Gary.
The right thing to do, unquestionably, a very difficult thing, though, for Gary Ringrose to do.
Oh, massively. And I think, you know, credit to him to be able to take away his own personal, looking to play in a test series and, you know, looking after his health first and foremost. But then as well, you know, for the rest of the team, knowing that he probably, you know, he isn't right to play. And that must have been an extremely difficult decision to make. And, you know, absolutely gutted for someone, for Gary, because, you know, he's performed at a great level for a number of years and was playing, is playing great rugby on this tour and probably deserved to have a crack at the test level, you know. So, really sorry to see that he's had to pull out in such a way. And like you said, yeah, would have been a complete change in the midfield. I just think there was that decision to make that change was, you know, I look back at the Wales, the Ireland game, the Six Nations, and Bundiaki came off the bench and he was man of the match in that short space of time. The way he brought an edge, physicality and real leadership as well. And I think he set the tone for that team. And, you know, he looked to do that this Saturday. I think, it's a smart decision to make because, you know, you don't want to give Australia a sniff, and someone like Bundy will make sure that the boys are on them, you know, make sure that they've, you know, once they've got them down, they're going to keep them down and keep, you know, pounding that door.
Blair Kinghorn will wear the 23 jersey, so he's the one who's going to be among the replacements for the back. So Hugh Jones ultimately keeps his place. There was a lot of questions about the two wingers after the first test last week, but Freeman is there, and so too is James Lowe. Is this a case that the performance in Test 1 wasn't perfect, so he's looking at the areas and somehow Tua Pulotu is the unlucky one and Hugh Jones is the unlucky one? He's going back to what he knows with the Irish guys?
Potentially, you know, I think when you're making such big decisions in your career, you do revert back to what you know and what's worked in the past. And I think, you know, he would have had a huge amount of confidence picking that midfield. And, you know, James Lowe has performed at an elite level for a number of years now. And, you know, I'm sure there's a conversation with James saying, look, you know, you weren't at your best last week, but I need you to perform this week. And there is a sense of, you know, you've got credit in the bank in some areas. Tommy Freeman, I think, has been great all tour, scoring tries. Yes, last week wasn't his best performance, but his work rate and, you know, his record is deserving to give it another crack. So, and they'll know they'll have breaking on the bench that's going to put pressure on them. So it's probably like, yeah, we're going to give you another chance. See, you know, don't drop the ball on this one.
You were obviously on the opposite side of this at times under Warren Gatland, where we'd be the ones looking at the amount of Welsh players and the Welsh coaching team and questioning it, and again that falling back on the players that you know and you can trust. Did you ever feel when you'd be in camp that there would be any, I don't know, little bit of resentment from the players from the other nations as to, well, there's literally nothing we can do to prove ourselves to this guy because he sees these players week in, week out for years?
Look, there's that familiarity with it. And, you know, obviously the coach that's going to come in is going to coach how he coaches his national team. So there's, you know, the certain drills that they do, those players from that nation have a kind of comfort and they know how to perform on it. And I think, you know, the first two tests in Australia, there was far more of a mixed team in terms of from all the four nations. And then I think it was a case for that last test. Was it 10 Welshmen? You know, Gats knew what he wanted from his team and he picked players that he has that faith in. And, you know, you can't, you know, there's no second chances on a Lions tour. And I think, especially in a decider. So maybe he's, you know, Andy Farrell is just looking at, you know, he's he wants this wrapped up, and he's gone to what he knows and feels that they've delivered enough times in the past, you know, with the all-Irish front row. It's that confidence thing, I think, he, as a coach, when you know players at the level, an elite level, they're going to, you know, repay you.
How would you have found it playing outside Finn Russell?
A lot of fun, I think. I'd be ready to go at any point. You're set to play. And that's what I loved, looking back at that first test, was the work rate off the ball, that the forwards were set to play, because Finn Russell was demanding them to be set, and he was looking to shift the ball early. So even when Australia cleared the kick, and, you know, to be fair, the forwards were putting a huge shift in to get set, to allow Finn to assess where the space was, whether, and I think his kicking game has come on hugely, where there is run kick option. Yeah, I would have loved to have a crack with him. I think I might have had to put the reins on him a bit more, but he's playing with a huge amount of confidence. And I think, you know, having great players around him as well, he's just enjoying that whole moment.
But that has to be the concern for Joe Schmidt coming into this, as much as Australia have Skelton and Valentini coming back in to add a bit more power. It did feel like there was an awful lot more to come from the Lions last week, in that Russell and Gibson Park are just such a beautiful partnership with so much creativity, and actually not enough happened outside them last week. And if they can get everybody and that new look centre partnership and the wingers click, like, it's a fairly frightening proposition for Australia.
I think there's, you know, 2-3 more levels to this team, you know. Traditionally, like, as a Lions squad, you come together 4 or 5 weeks before you play the first test, probably less than that, and you're playing one of the better teams in the world rugby. Mm. And that's the difficult thing, to come together, get cohesion. And the more time you spend together in a squad, you're just going to get better and better. So I'm expecting this Saturday a Lions team to perform better than they did last week. And they made, you know, beating Australia look relatively straightforward. So Australia are going to have to raise their game a huge amount, really, if they're going to get this series to 1-1. And that's, I just struggle to see it, to be honest.
Yeah, how do they go about keeping this alive? Like, Skelton has obviously caused Leinster any amount of problems through the years, but, like, as much of a man mountain as he is he enough to carry an entire nation to another level?
I would have to wait and see. I think he's hoping for a bit of help from people around him. One man can't take on the best players from four countries. And, you know, I think they've got to be more physical. Australia just seem to be slipping off tackles. Just the Lions were able to just gain momentum and play with speed. And someone, you know, when you got a nine like Gibson Park, he's just going to pick you off. And then you got Finn Russell outside with even more time, because the defence hasn't been able to get set. The Australian line speed, where they were trying to put pressure on, but because they were having to retreat every time that the Lions were winning the collision, they weren't in a good place to really get off the line. So, you know, I think they'll be expecting the forwards to win a few more collisions so that midfield can really get up and put pressure on the likes of Finn Russell and Bundiaki. I think you really got to go after them and take their time away, because these players are world-class with time. And, you know, I don't know if they can do it.
Yeah. And get after them from minute one, because, like, Ty Byrne last week was at 20 seconds into the game is winning a penalty. And from minute one, it felt all the momentum was with the Lions, that home support that's there. They could just never tap into what was happening on the pitch with Australia.
I bet the team never felt really under threat, and that's a great place to be in as a team. And
so that's a rare place to be for a Lions team.
Exactly that. I think, you know, normally there's that uncertainty around everything. Like, you know, you've built relationships with your teammates, but you're not 100% clear on what the man inside or man outside you is doing. So there's always that uncertainty. But, you know, I think that team on Saturday just looked relatively comfortable, and I do feel there's a couple more gears in them. And Australia, I just think, have to play, try and get tempo in their game, try and get the Lions on the back foot slightly, and any opportunity from mistakes to counterattack, get the ball wide, because you know the back three is dangerous. Suari's a great player, a great talent, that he needs more touches. And you know, I think it's they can't die wondering on Saturday in Australia. They have to go for it. You know, they've if they don't win this, it's job done, and they'll be staring down the barrel at a whitewash then. So it's they'll want to get something from this for sure.
The other talking point from the squad selection, maybe overshadowed by the Gary Rigron news, is that Owen Farrell makes the match day 23. Remarkable turnaround from a player not in the squad originally, though I think he had been in Dublin when they'd met up at first, and obviously he was doing commentary for the game against Argentina. He's a player and a personality you know well. Nepotism aside, why is he there?
Look, I think Owen is probably the best player I've ever played with. I think
wow.
my best rugby came when I was playing with him at the midfield, because he gave me so much confidence. There's no grey areas with someone like Owen Farrell. His communication, his preparation, he gave me confidence to go out there and do whatever I needed to do, and there was no hesitation then. So any decision I could make, there was no time wasted, and he knows how to win a test series, and that is why he's been called up, with his experience. And you look at the makeup of the bench with the backs. If you have Marcus Smith there, you just got him covering 10, because Blake Ingon's going to go on if there's an injury to the back three. So there's no real cover on the bench with Marcus Smith at centre. And I think having Owen there on the bench just gives reassurance if one of the midfielders does go down. You've got someone with a huge amount of serious experience to slot in there. So, I think the makeup of the bench seems more balanced with him in it than Marcus Smith, if you get me. Mm. I think a lot of people will say he hasn't shown the form, but, it's in those tight moments. And you look how the last 20 minutes, the game seemed to, not get away from the Lions, but the Australia were able to crawl their way back into some respectable scoreline. And I think fans won't want that this week. And people know how to close out games. And, Owen Farrell is definitely one of those type of players.
It's interesting, for all the questions about his call-up, none of them have come from any of his former teammates.
Yeah. I think it shows. I think, he's very private, and, doesn't let much out into the public. But I think when you spend time with him and play with him, you understand the quality of not only the player, but the man as well. And like I said, the best player I think I've played with.
And the comfort he would give you then, that you mentioned playing alongside him in terms of preparation, would that have been a week-long thing? When you think back to New Zealand in 2017 and the intensity around those second and third tests in particular, where you had that centre partnership, was that the 3-4 days leading into the game in terms of your game plan and how you would work together? Was it more on the day of the game?
A bit of both. I think, I remember a conversation we had as a midfield, Johnny Sexton, Owen Farrell and myself, and they go like, "Oh, do you want to add anything?" I was like, "Boys, you just steer the ships and I'll be the donkey. Whatever you need from me, I'll do. You're the ones that are in control of this." But it's just how you talk about your planning to play against certain players. Sonny Bill Williams, right? I'm not going to be able to defend him one-on-one all the time. So let's have a bit of a strategy, and we'd be clear on that strategy, and that would help us prep for those games. And there was decisions where I would be able to put pressure on the All Blacks, and it would come from Owen just saying go, I got you covered. And it's just then I'm able to go without hesitation, and it helps when you have that, and that week leading up, it's about spending time and building an understanding, really.
Jonathan, it's been brilliant to talk to you. We got you on to, you know, just clear everything up 12 years on. And then you say Owen Farrell was the best player he ever played alongside. There's Brian O'Driscoll just going along his business again down in Australia, trying to make some happy memories himself. And this is going to be popping up in his timeline.
You're definitely a spin king, putting it that way, aren't you? Huh? You'll do anything to keep me out of Ireland.
Anything. Nobody set up any Facebook groups after this, all right? Give the man some peace. Jonathan, brilliant to talk to you. Thanks so much for the analysis and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
All Our Rugby and Off the Ball is a Bank of Ireland proud sponsor of Irish Rugby. Never stop competing. And we will, of course, have loads of coverage and post-match coverage of that second test between the Lions and Australia on Saturday's show with John.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.